The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by James Millman in the studio to look ahead to the best of Monday's action. We're going to preview three races at Wolverhampton for you, as well as having just a brief look back at Saturday's racing. Morning, James. How's things?
Good morning. Yeah, pretty good. Obviously busy in Leeds for the sports personality this evening, and let's hope McCoy can do a good advert for racing.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It will be, I'd imagine it'll be rather busy. We both live just behind the arena.
Yeah, traffic will be chock-a-block come 5 o'clock when we're going home.
We could charge people for parking.
Definitely. It'll be absolutely jam-packed, but I'd say it's good for Leeds to have something like that. And I think Tony McCoy, he's been shortening the bet, and he's got a good chance of being in the free.
He's also riding at Navan today. He's got one hell of a journey, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's making it, but Andy Murray's not, so it's interesting to see the different perspectives for the actual awards itself.
Yeah, but fingers crossed AP can if not win, at least, you know, maybe get a place. Yeah, I think, as it were,
with the cricket team not doing so well at the moment in the Ashes, and I'll say Murray perhaps not the most popular, he certainly got a little bit of a squeak and more chance than we thought he had a couple of months ago anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, yesterday's racing from Cheltenham, really enjoyable to watch. We'll start with a new one. Travelled into it, the race, beautifully. After the last, looked like he was going to get pounced on by Zarkandar, but Sam Twiston Davies just gave him a little kick in the belly, and he moved on again in the style of the horse that we know he is.
He's very, very impressive yesterday. Obviously, didn't go too hard. They finished in a little bit of a bunch. The ones in behind probably got closer than you would have expected, but it was nice to see the acceleration he showed from the last, because he didn't jump the last very, very well. And bearing in mind he's against Zarkandar, who's a very useful horse in his own right, and obviously beat him in the entry hurdle last year, the fact he quickened away up the hill was pretty impressive. He looks to be much improved this year. He's much stronger than his novice campaign. Interestingly, they're aiming to run him in, I think, the Christmas hurdle 2 weeks' time. We'll get a little bit more of an idea then, but I think he's definitely the leading British contender for the Champion Hurdle, in my opinion, at the moment. And like I say, it's good to see the Twiston Davies team have such a nice horse in their hands.
Other races yesterday at Cheltenham, of course, the feature, if you like, was the December Gold Cup, a Grade 3 handicap chase. And that went to Double Ross for the Twiston Davies team. A good win for them. I was surprised to see the horse go off 7-1. It was. I spoke to AP McCoy yesterday morning. He flagged Double Ross up as one that he actually quite fancied at a bigger price.
Yeah, it was one that kind of, a bit of a gamble all week, I think. His price kind of dropped a little bit. And to be fair, it wasn't perhaps the most competitive of races, bearing in mind that I think the Paddy Power itself was a lot more competitive number wise. We only had 13 runners yesterday, but then Colour Squadron was back in third, beating further than what he was in the Paddy Power, so perhaps it was stronger than what it looked initially on paper. Double Ross only had a very, very light weight, 10-8 on his back, under Sam Twiston Davies off a mark of 1-3-3. Pretty impressive, and it was a big weekend for the Twiston Davies team. And I'll say he's down to 70 horses when the yard's got room for 140, and a lot of horses running in his own name as well. So financially, I don't think he's been too secure recently, so winning £100,000 of prize money this weekend will be a big boost, and hopefully he can get a few more owners in the yard, because both trainer and jockey are two names you really always feature at Cheltenham. And like I say, he deserves to have more horses.
Is that right then? He's only got half his boxes filled?
Yeah, only half the boxes are filled. Fergal O'Brien was his assistant. Obviously he started training in his own right. Nicky Henson's getting bigger and bigger all the time, and like I say, it's not easy at the moment attracting owners in the sphere, you've got a lot of elite owners at the top that are paying a lot of money, but just below the 25, 30 grand purchases, there's not so many people around, and I'd say it'd be a big boost for the yard after a disappointing time. I think it was 2% strike rate the other month, and he's not been in quite as good a form as he normally is, but he's got a machine in the new one.
Could give some of those boxes to Anne Stokel to avoid to avoid the brown pea thing all over again, couldn't we? Okay, then, we'll move on to some of Monday's action. Going to look at three contests at Wolverhampton, the 305, the 340 and the 440. Not that many runners on the Wolverhampton card, really, on Monday. Not that they have huge fields normally, but...
Starting to cut up a little bit now, and the surface, it isn't ideal. Like, to be fair, we're not running any horses there. If we can really help it, we haven't had a runner there for a couple of months now, and it's a mixture of polytrack, and it seems to be a mixture of fibre sand, and a lot of horses don't handle it. They're on about replacing the surface in about 6 months' time, but... Like I say, unless there's a lot of prize money on, we did see the 45 grand handicap at Wolves Saturday night, which had a big, strong, competitive field. But if the prize money's not there, they're going to struggle to attract runners. And generally, we've got a whole card of less than eight runners, which is disappointing. Yeah. The races are competitive enough nonetheless, but like I say, unless Wolverhampton can kind of get on top of the problems with the surface, I think the runners are just going to drop. And naturally, this time of year, we have a smaller pool of horses to go around anyway.
Yeah. As you said there, still pretty competitive. The first race that we'll look at is the 305. It is a Class 5 event, just the 5 going to post over a mile and 6 furlongs. But you could give a chance to all 5 here. We'll start with Scribe for Paul Evans. Adam Kirby takes the ride. Eye-catching jockey booking on Scribe there. I'm not sure he's ridden the horse before. He has once, and he won on it, actually.
Adam was suiting because he's a lazy sort, is Scribe, and... I was disappointed with him last time. They found a very, very weak opportunity at Class 6. I was in the studio that evening at Wolverhampton. He didn't back up the useful second he posted previously, and there's a little bit of a concern because there's a few unexposed horses in the race. I'm going to go for one at the bottom of the weights. Lee Carter's Artistical made a winning debut for the yard since he was bought out of Willie Haggis' yard at the Tatsworth Horses and Training. So he's up £5, but he's the only three-year-old in the race. He's unexposed. He's improving. And I think he could probably go in again, and I'd say only five runners, but it is pretty competitive. Mount Jess, she's had 2 seconds at the track on her most recent starts. The worry is she's probably creeping up the handicap a little bit, but she's pretty dangerous for the Daskam Kingscott team. Odin's pretty consistent, and you've got to give him a little bit of a squeak as well for Don Cantillon. And Outboard's also pretty useful, so it's a competitive little event, but I just think the unexposed one is Artistical. Only had 5 starts, and I think he can get back-to-back successes at Wolverhampton.
Okay then, just to clarify, Adam Kirby's actually ridden Scribe 4 times.
So 4 times.
I don't have a clue what I'm talking about, clearly. But no, he did win on it last time. And Scribe, I think, owned by...
John Babb's a little
John
bit involved,
Babb and that syndicate, so fingers crossed for them. But you are with Artistical there in the 305. Next up is the 340. It is a claiming stakes over a mile, an extended mile. 4 runners going to post for this one. Once again, though... we saw in the last race all 5 runners were coming off the back of placed efforts, and all 4 runners doing so again here.
Yeah, I'm going to concentrate on the 2 at the bottom of the weights, Jazzy Lady and House of Family. House of Family was pretty impressive when winning a seller at the track last time out 2 weeks ago, and recent course form I think is paramount around Wolverhampton, because like I say, the surface is a little bit on the unique side at the moment. Tom Daskam has a pretty good strike rate at Wolverhampton. Now this filly's off the mark again. Bit of confidence, perhaps she can follow up. Jazzy Lady's been extremely tough and consistent this season. As usual, David Evans keeps his horses extremely busy, and she stood up to this busy campaign pretty well. She's been placed in the last 5 starts, winning 2 of them, and I think she's the obvious danger to the favourite, but I just think House of Family getting £5 from Jazzy Lady may just be more attractively weighted in this claim. I think Sydney James and Kintara Castle, they won't be able to give the weight to House of Family, and perhaps a little bit outclassed with the bottom 2 in the weights. But House of Family, I think Tom Daskam can get another winner on the board.
Okay, then, the final race that we'll look at is the 440 from Wolverhampton. It is a maiden over the extended mile with 8 runners down to go to post. I'd imagine that this might just be a match between the two horses that hail from...
fashionable yards.
I'll have to say that again because I have to edit that. I'd imagine this will be a match between Two horses that hail from slightly more fashionable yards here, James.
Yeah, definitely. Eamon Rock, James Fanshawe's gelding, I thought was a certainty to get off the market in maiden company. He's well backed on handicap debut at Kempton. He drawn one, thought he had everything in his favour, and he only came fifth. It was a little bit disappointing, but I still thought he ran out to a 70 and dropped back into a weak maiden last time. I was hopefully he'd run okay, but he really didn't progress at all. And the worry is that he's going the wrong way, so I'm going to avoid him again tomorrow, and I'm going to go for the variant horse Severano. We've not seen him for 153 days, but his two runs in the weather haven't been bad efforts. His last run was third to Noble Protector. He was beat a fair way by Stuart Kiddo's Gelding, but he's pretty useful, Noble Protector, and I'd say maidens this time of year are pretty weak, so I think open to improvement. The variant team have kept him going. He's hooded for the first time, which Roger Variant likes to use a little bit. Andrea Zaney takes the ride, and Andrea's in cracking form, and I just think he's going to be better than Eamon Rock. Great Conquest was third on debut for Jamie Osborne, and he hasn't got too much to find on the odd form book, so if he improves a little bit, he's probably is the main danger to the variant horse, but I think Severano can get off the mark at the fourth attempt.
Okay then, Severano the pick there in the 440. Obviously not a stable star, but has pretty strong claims there in a pretty weak maiden. Okay then, James, great stuff. Best of luck with those picks. Enjoy the action, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.